The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be. In our gospel reading today, as we just heard, Jesus puts himself in the long line of succession of prophets of Israel. These people who are God's faithful, who have spoken God's word in the midst of his people, and who, as Jesus says, have continually been killed for it. See, because as a prophet, the closer and closer you get to the center of power, to the control panels, which Jerusalem represented, well, the more of a threat you become to those who are in control. And you know that that goes for kings and tyrants, and it also goes for the loves of our own hearts as well, right? The closer that Jesus gets to the real control center of our lives, those false comforts and securities that we come to rely on, well, the more of a threat that he becomes to us, and the more he risks falling into the same fate of all those prophets who have gone before him. So I'm reading this book on trails. It sounds random, but follow me on this path, as it were. So the author, I just picked up this random book at Parnassus, and it looked really interesting. It was a New York Times bestseller, and so it's turned out to be a really interesting book. But the author, in a chapter on how ants make trails, he spends a bit of time talking about feedback loops, how ants use chemicals to mark trails for those that will follow after them to find food or whatever. So they leave these pheromone marks as they're exploring, and when they find food, they trace back their steps to the anthill to find other ants, and they kind of follow that same trail to the food. But sometimes, as they are on these exploratory trips, he talks about how humans and animals all tend to walk around in circles, and how sometimes on these exploratory trips, these ants get caught back on their own trail before finding food. And there are these interesting stories of these ants who just kind of like walk around in circles for a couple of days, and then they die of starvation. And he talks about this as a vicious cycle, a bad kind of feedback loop. But there are also virtuous cycles, a good feedback loops that he talks about. Like, for instance, when the ant actually finds the food and successfully makes the trail back to the colony. As he makes his way back, he lays down more pheromones, which strengthen the trail. And as more ants catch the trail and find food, they emit more pheromones. And so that eventually they build sort of a pheromone superhighway from the anthill to the food source. It's just like trucking food back and forth, which is really great. That's what you want, you know. So anyway, good feedback loops and bad feedback loops, virtuous cycles and vicious cycles. And my point is that as Jesus is recounting the history of the people of Israel, he seems to be describing a really bad feedback loop, a vicious cycle where the prophets are the ants. They just keep trailing to Jerusalem, and they always end up dying. And the more tragic and detrimental their deaths are at the hands of injustice, well, the more it calls forth prophets to name the evils of Jerusalem, and they suffer the same fate or worse, and on it goes. And here's Jesus walking this very same trail. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus walks this same trail to Jerusalem, knowing what kind of feedback loop it is, knowing that he will undergo the same fate as all these other prophets. But to be sure, there is a huge difference. Jesus, as he walks this path, he is not simply perpetuating this vicious cycle, this negative feedback loop of death and injustice. You see, as Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he is not only following in the trail of all the faithful prophets who have gone before. He is actually, as he goes, he is blazing a new trail, transforming that vicious cycle into a virtuous one, one that actually calls forth greater and greater flourishing and abundance as we follow in this path. See, because unlike all the other prophets who could only bear witness to God's truth and righteousness in the face of injustice, Jesus himself embodies and is the fullness of God's very being. He is the fullness of God's truth and righteousness and fiercely insistent love for his people. So as Jesus goes to suffer the same fate, being killed as a victim of the injustice of the world and of God's people's sinful hearts, he is not destroyed by it. He is not held down by it, but he actually generates new life through it. He forges a new trail through his resurrection from the dead. And the image he uses as of a hen gathering her chicks, her brood under her wings, is particularly poignant. If you're reading through our Lenten devotional reading as a church, the Gospel Lent for Everyone, Year C, the Gospel of Luke, N.T. Wright, talking about this passage, uses this, fleshes out what this image of the hen sheltering her brood under her wings means. And it's particularly poignant when you learn what happens during a grass fire. So a mother hen, when faced with the threat of a fire, will actually gather her chicks under her wings as the fire passes over them. And often when the fire passes, you will find just this burnt body of a mother hen who has given her life. And under it, under her charred wings, still alive, are her vulnerable little chicks. And the great irony of this image, as Jesus uses it here, is that even though his little chicks run away from him as the fires of the cross come ever closer, as they refuse his loving protection and care, he still takes the flames of death on our behalf. And in the miracle of his grace, he still offers that shelter and protection to us as we come to him even now. We, in this season of Lent, are in some way journeying with Jesus as he makes his way to Jerusalem, this place where his ministry and life will culminate in his death on the cross. And this is the journey that Jesus invites us as his followers on as well, to walk in the way of the cross and to discover that it is indeed the way of life and peace. And at times, to be sure, this seems really hard to believe, and we will falter and fail plenty along the way. But because Jesus has walked this path before us, we can trust that even in the darkest and most difficult of times, this trail is not a negative feedback loop. It's not a vicious cycle, but rather a virtuous cycle, forged by Christ's own death and resurrection, which paves the trail of new life through the flames of death and ushers us into true abundance. And so, as we continue on this Lenten journey, may we press ever more deeply into this path, this trail of life that Jesus has forged by his own death and resurrection. Amen.